Blog Talk Radio.
And magnify the name of the Lord, for the Lord is great, and he's greatly to be praised. You may be seated. It is in the invincible name of Jesus Christ, our King, that I stand here today, filled, like all of you, with nostalgic moments and memories. I will try not to elongate the service and indulging myself in exploring all of them with you. But I do want to bring sincere condolences to the family in your time and your hour of bereavement. I have been monitoring Bishop's health long distance during this last interval that he had, with much prayer and supplication. Like his wife, I prayed, God, I know you've done it before, you can do it again. And I know you can't keep doing it. Sooner or later, you've got to call all of us from labor to reward. But if you don't mind, we'd just like for you to do an encore. I know it's about your third one, but one more, sir. And then God, in his sovereign will, makes a decision that we in our human weakness will never be able to articulate, because he knows what's best for us, and he knows what's best for him. I couldn't help but walk around my house. I told Lady Sabrina, I'll borrow Bishop Tim's expression and call it Dr. E. I like that. I think I'm going to change. Yeah, Dr. E. I told her every time I walked through my lanai where she and her husband were sitting about a year or so ago, tears welled up in my eyes. Bishop was having a meeting in Dallas, and a few of his bishops came down to my house, and we cooked dinner, and we broke bread, and we had fellowship. And I didn't bother the bishop at first because I figured he was busy and recovering and might be weak and tired and want to rest, and he was insulted. I quickly fixed that, because you did not want Bishop Ellis insulted. It's not like he would be privately insulted. Bishop Ellis would go public on the brother. I said, oh, no, Bishop, I wanted you to come in here. He came down, and to my surprise, he was neither tired nor afflicted. He was actually the life of the party. He had us in stitches laughing and talking, and we enjoyed each other till way up in the night. And I had no idea at the time that that would be the last time that I would see him in life. None of us know. But it is nice to have pleasant memories to look on him. I look back over his career and his commitment and his calling, and how instrumental he has been in unifying our community of Christian leaders in such a phenomenal way. While many seek to divide us, almost seemingly gifted at dividing us, he was anointed to unite us. There aren't many like that. The young protégés up under my influence, I tried to explain to them who Bishop Ellis was. And I kept trying to think of somebody he was like to make them understand why I would get on a plane after so many months of not going near one. I kept trying to think of somebody he was like. I couldn't think of anybody that Bishop J. Delano Ellis was like. there will never be another Bishop J. Delano Ellis. Can I get a witness in the house? It is with great humility that I come. I told Dr. E. that her daughter texts my son. Lady E. had gone through all of the protocols and call my office and all of that. My grandmother would call rigmarole that was appropriate in such times like this. But what really moved the dial was her daughter texted my son and said, "There is nobody that my father thought any more highly of than your father." And so my baby boy texts me with your message. And I thought how ironic it is that our children would have that kind of conversation. I'm getting to the age now that it's not about me. It's not about me, but to leave an indelible impression that our children would know each other and talk together and walk together. So move me and so touch me. And my wife has taught me, by the way, she sends her love and greetings and would be here, but I would not allow her to come. My wife has taught me, if you want to know how folk really feel about you, watch their children. So I was sure, because the kids will tell the real story. The parents will fake it. But if you look at them kids, they will look at you and let you know real quick what's really going on in the house. Bishop Ellis and I have been friends for quite some time. I really took a moment to come in the building because I really wanted to stand on the corner, because about 30-some years ago, I was pulling up on the corner when Bishop Ellis came down this street here for me to preach in here the first time. It was a long time ago. I had a jerry curl. It was a nice one, too. Don't laugh. It was a nice one. I would do it again if I could. And here comes this man in a full cassock riding a bicycle. I had never in all my life seen somebody on a cassock on a bicycle with a hat. And that was my first encounter with him on the corner as I came in here to preach a revival. I was young then, and he was much younger then. I can remember back then the pulpit wasn't like it is now. It was all closed in. And I can remember thinking about leaping over top of it to get down into the crowd and keep preaching the puppet master. You remember that? Yeah. Now I'm glad you fixed it so that you can walk down, because I sure couldn't leap over. So I'm grateful to God. We have so much history. One of the many things that he did that really impressed me is taking the delegation of bishops to explore the episcopacy in Rome. He took them to the Vatican, and I had never seen so many African American bishops in full choir attire taking pictures and posting them at the Vatican. He took us to Rome, and though I wasn't there, I thought I was there, because you all were there, and some of the people in this room were there, and you're friends of mine. I have so many friends in this room that if I sat down and ate with all of them, chickens would run from us. I greet you.